Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Heroes can be larger than life itself. And it doesn't take a public relations firm or a good photographer who can doctor the negative to turn a rascal into a hero. Such was a character who lived long ago. He was a twin, the grandson of Abraham, whose name was Jacob. His very name meant heel catcher, trickster, or supplanter. At least 9 times this person is mentioned in the book of Psalms. When the writers mention his name, they use the expression, the God of Jacob. Why is this important? Well, notice first of all that not once in the Bible do you find the expression, the God of Daniel, or the God of Moses who rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, or even the God of Elijah who hitched a ride to heaven in a chariot of fire, something that only computer animation could make happen apart from the supernatural. These individuals were giants of epic proportion. Yet 22 times Jacob is mentioned in the Bible. Who was Jacob anyway? After his marriage to Rebekah, Isaac, Abraham's son, desperately wanted a son of his own. But nothing happened. Finally, as the result of earnest prayer, Rebekah became pregnant. Eventually, 2 little heartbeats were heard, and it became obvious there were 2 infants in her womb. When they were born, the first came into the world, no doubt yelling at the top of his lungs. Then, before the women attending the birth could lift the newborn to his mother's breast, the second child was born. This one was holding to the heel of his brother. The first was named Esau because of his reddish complexion. The second named Jacob, whose name means literally heel catcher, as someone would be called who purposely stuck out his foot in an aisle to trip someone. Was the name self-fulfilling, a kind of prophecy of what was to come? If you remember your Old Testament, you will no doubt remember that Esau became a hunter, and a good one too. No wonder he was his dad's favorite. His venison and wild meat were delectable, but one day Esau came in exhausted and famished and hungry. Stupidly, he bartered his birthright as the first son for a bowl of stew, something which Jacob didn't forget when the boy's father was old and ready to pass on the estate. But to get the larger portion of the inheritance, Jacob had to lie to his father. He had to deceive him, thus making him think that he was really his brother Esau. Hey friend, God has his payday someday. And Jacob had to flee for his life. For the next 14 years, he lived in Mesopotamia, a long ways from home. Eventually, Jacob made peace with his brother and peace with God too. When you think about that phrase, the God of Jacob, you're talking about someone who was less than a role model, less than a benchmark, not exactly someone you would hold up to your kids as an example for your son to follow. When Jacob was absolutely desperate, he turned to God, and God changed his life. I'm glad that God chose to be identified as the God of Jacob, something that gives me hope because if God could change Jacob's life, he can change mine and yours too. It was the physical touch of the Almighty that changed Jacob's life and his body physically. And when God changed his heart, he got a new name, Israel, the name borne by the nation today. That phrase, the God of Jacob, is a window of hope, the assurance that your past isn't important when you cry out in desperation and God touches your life. It's still true. The Bible says that if a man is in Christ, he's a new person. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. That's why we can talk about the God of Jacob. Is he your God? He can change your life just like he did Jacob's. I'd like to hear from you, and we'll send you literature that will help you understand God's forgiveness. You can send an email to Guidelines at this email address, guidelines@guidelines.org.